We're so blessed that you joined us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are, if you tuned in last week, we're in James, and Taylor and Rebecca are with us again, and Miss Tara and myself, Sandy, and we're talking about temptation. Last time we were talking about different scriptures in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10, 11 through 13. We did Genesis, and we were also in Hebrews 4, 14 through 16.
It's so good, and it's good to think on these things. And this is different. Temptation is different than a trial.
Yeah.
A trial is, it comes from the Greek word perosmos, and it's an outward test. It's something is used to help us draw closer to Christ, to strengthen us, to convict us, to make us better. And how we respond to it reveals what's inside about our relationship with Christ. A temptation comes from pirazo, and it's the inner enticement to sin, and it's that which will actually take us away from Christ. It does not ever originate from God, and it is an appealing to our selfish desires, our wants, the things that we want. It comes from our flesh. And so it's not of God. And so we need to know what the difference is. So we've been looking at temptation from these different passages. We're going to reread Hebrews because we want to hear a little bit from Rebecca and Taylor. So okay. Go ahead, Sandy.
This is Hebrews 4, 14 through 16.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need.
Okay. Ladies, so what do you guys learn in class?
Well, we did learn that when he talks about the high priest, he's talking about Jesus, because he's now our way of communicating with God. And while Jesus was on earth, he went through every temptation possible. And so when it says that he is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, it's because he's gone through that. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we should go in confidence to the throne of grace and to God when we ask for mercy or grace or anything, because he knows that his son went through it, and so he sympathizes for us.
That's good.
That's perfect.
Rebecca,
yeah.
You want to add to it?
Yes. Even with approaching confidently to the throne of grace, we've kind of learned in our Hebrews class that you don't have to have it all together to come to God. Because
yeah.
I definitely don't have it all together the whole time.
People forget that. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then when we do, we get mercy and grace, things that we don't deserve, but we get, or we don't get something that we deserve.
Isn't that beautiful? And we'll learn later, I think, in chapter 4, where it talks about that God gives grace generously.
Mm-hmm.
He's a generous grace giver. And so I have been, in the time that we've been studying, one, I pray often, I pray whatever I'm studying, I pray the scriptures. And so I've been praying often over us at Grace University that we be a generous giver, that we as a people are known as generous givers, whatever it is, time, yeah. Talent, treasure. And then it's something I pray for my family for years, but I've added it and praying it to grace. But then when I was studying this in James since last semester, to be generous with grace,
mm-hmm.
and to literally, like in circumstances, pause in my heart and ask, how can I be a generous grace giver?
Mm-hmm. Or thinking, how can we not? Because we've given so much grace. How can we not give everybody grace?
But it helps.
And I'm guilty sometimes.
Well,
absolutely.
It helps us to pause and do that. And so it's really funny. I had a contractor that was supposed to come to my house on Monday. And for whatever reason, he missed his contract time to come. And he just texted me last night. And he's like, I am so sorry, I missed my appointment. And normally, like, you're like a contractor, it's like, well, if you can't be responsible, whatever. And I'm like, you know what? This is an opportunity to give generous grace. Mm-hmm. And so I just text him back, and I'm like, you know what? If you're anything like me, your schedule is so full, and it was outside your time frame that you would do work, I could see that you would accidentally forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote back, thank you so much.
I'm not used to that.
Right, because usually they get yelled at. And so using it as an opportunity to bear witness to what God's done in me.
Right.
And
I'm thinking of, like, just even the temptation here. I mean, God is so good. You had that happen. you know, where we're talking about what we should do. Mm-hmm. This morning I had some temptations, which I need to give mercy to the people that were negative. And you know, and you've got, you guys are studying Hebrews in the class. I mean, doesn't God just work everything together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just so good.
I don't know why I'm amazed. It always happens, but it's so beautiful.
It's so good. It's so good. Okay, so based on everything we've discussed between last time, so those will have to go back and listen to last week's show. Why is it important that we not blame or our temptations on God, on everything that we've just looked at?
Because why? He doesn't tempt us.
That's right.
Satan does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But have you heard somebody blame God for?
Yes, yeah. Of course. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And so we have to think on this. Tim Chaddick, I want to read this quote to you. He says, each time, he's a writer, theologian, each time we choose truth in the face of a lie, we are, in a sense, flexing muscles in our spiritual lives that grow stronger with each challenge. The result is that we become more mature, our character grows, and by God's grace, we reflect the beauty of Jesus to those around us. Every moment of temptation can be an exercise in what matters most. These moments don't have to kill you. They can make you stronger. Mm-hmm. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. And so thinking through the temptations, and as just as we exercise our bodies, how can I exercise my faith so that I grow in my faith? And we go through the trials and we go through temptations, and they will strengthen us and make us a people of character. And it grows our character, which, think about it, going back to what we read in Genesis, what's the number one thing the enemy attacks?
God's character.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so if it's God's character and word that is attacked, what is he trying to attack in us?
Hurts.
Mm-hmm. Our character. Mm-hmm. And our word. Mm-hmm. So every step we take, and we take it in faith, we are increasing our character and our word and God's character and God's word in our walk.
And then we can shine that light that we want to shine.
I know, it's just God, that's what I want, that's what I long for. It's just so beautiful. It's like powerful to think that he's willing to trust us with that and allow that to be what he's growing in us. Okay, we've learned about how temptation works. So the enemy of God, he misquotes scripture. He rebukes the character of God. We've looked at how he'll prey upon us. He will make it pleasing to the eye, and he'll bring it forth in that way. So now what I'm wanting us to do is I want us to look at, this is something that caught me. I'm going to have Taylor, I had said you were going to read the passage. What did I say?
Becca.
Okay, sorry. I'm like, I have already forgotten. I'm going to have Becca go ahead and read for us again the James 12 through 18. And we're going to dive in on some more verses.
Okay. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits for his creatures.
Mm, so good.
Beautiful.
Okay, so I was preparing this. We have already taught it at church and gone through it. Greg and I had studied it in depth. I don't know how I missed this, except for the fact that maybe that in the time frame that we were doing this back in February was when I had the flu. And so maybe when I was studying, it was because I wasn't feeling well. But, oh my, I was preparing it for the Open Door Mission. And in English language, in the NLT translation, so it's not going to happen with other translations or in other languages. So it just worked with this. It has actually the word dead in the spiral of what happens.
Hmm.
It blew my mind. So first comes desire, that's your D. Then comes the enticement, that's your E. Then comes the act, that's your A. And then D is your death. Like literally sin is it's death. And I just love that God's language literally brought that out. And when I shared that at the Open Door Mission, the men and women were like, oh, wow, that's crazy. But it allows us to see that journey of what happens in verses 14 through 15. So desire starts swirling around and we see that. And if we could just look into our heart and our mind and say death, anytime a temptation comes that we know is not going to lead to anything good, if we just said death, we would do ourselves a great favor, because it would stop us from moving on to the enticement. Because you have the desire is just a thought, but the enticement is when it starts to like draw you in, and so that's when you start playing with it. And then the act is then the moment that we actually take the step, we move forward, and then we find out we've been trapped. And another way of sharing this is it. Let's just go with a sin, the thoughts, okay, a sin of thought, and then I allow my sin of thought to move to where it goes to my heart. And so it's not just a thought, I didn't deal with it here. If you saw me, I'm pointing to my head and then my hands over my heart, and I've allowed it to reach my heart. Once it reaches my heart, it moves very quickly to the hands and the feet and the mouth.
In the mouth.
And so, right. And so I have to immediately, when I have thoughts, bring them to God. Like, it's instant. So a constant, this is why he tells us we should be in prayer without ceasing. Mm-hmm. This is the reason why. We should constantly have in our head the conversation of drawing near to God in such a way that even with our thoughts, a spirit of judgment happens. Wait, I shouldn't do that. God, that's your child. You tell us that those who judge will be judged the way that we judge. Wow. Ooh, I need to stop that judgment. God, cleanse me. Forgive me. Boom, move on. And allowing that to be a continuous process in us. And at one point, this is Greg's funny joke in our household. This is really pathetic. I'm going to share my sin. I don't know. Because I had come out of abusive relationship and things had been so hard, I had so many things I needed to have God heal in me. Mm-hmm. I would often have very frightening nightmares. And then I would get mad because sometimes Greg would be the person I'd be afraid of. And he's like, you can't hold me accountable for your dreams, you know? And I didn't in my person during the day, I wouldn't, because I know he's good and godly, but I would have the dreams and then it would stress me. And it occurred to me that I needed to even give my dreams to God. And at that point, as a young 20-something-year-old, probably like 25, in that age range, I gave God even my dreams. I said, God, even in my sleep, I want so my thoughts are stayed upon you that if I sin in my sleep, that you convict me and I confess it before it reaches. And so I started praying that even that, and you know, all the nightmares stopped. Like, I literally gave him and he took it because he had provided me a way of escape.
You went boldly to the throne.
I did,
and he
in
provided.
Confidence. Yeah. And he took care of it. He healed that in me so that I no longer had dreams that would cause me to wake up stressed or confused, whatever kind of thing. And so literally taking our thoughts captive so much to God that we even are willing to give him our sleep. And so that is what this is like dealing with. Like, let's take it to the most deeper level that we could possibly take it. And when we do that, we stop that enticement from destroying us, because it is, it's us that it kills. We may kill other people in the process in our sin, but ultimately it kills us in our relationship with God, and we don't want that to happen, right?
Right.
Right. We don't want that. Right. Okay, so so the evil desires will bring forth death. We just need to get that down, like deal with it. And in light of this, the best way to deal with it is to bring it before God instantly, right? So we're going to go a little bit deeper. I think we have enough time where we can do this one. Let's go into Romans. I'd like for us to read Romans 6, 11 through 13. Who read last?
I did.
Okay, so Taylor, you do that. Let's do Romans 6, 11 through 13.
Okay. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. I think I read an extra verse.
That's okay. That's all right. But not under the law, but of?
Under grace.
I think that's perfectly appropriate, because what did we just say God is?
He's gracious, generous.
He's a generous giver of grace. So I think that was God, you did that. Okay, so how are we to count ourselves towards sin? So we know sin brings death. Mm-hmm. But because of Christ, what we know he did, we see it and we read it in Hebrews. We know that he's done it at the cross. He rose from the grave. He conquered death. We are actually dead to sin. Mm-hmm. We can, in our submission to Christ, have him stop it to where it stops in the thought processes. We are dead to sin. We can, in him, move forward in walking in righteousness. Mm-hmm. That, like, blows my mind. In him, it's possible. Now, if I stay in my flesh, is it possible?
Nope.
No. What are the three ways that we're attacked? Like the three enemies that attack us, and we'll go over this more later, but right now, just you guys know, it's the me, it's the flesh, it's the world, and then it's the enemy of God. So the minions, dominions, legions of Satan. These are the three ways we are attacked. And so my personal desires is what he's dealing with right now. And then in Genesis, we look at how the enemy comes after us in the character and the word of God. But the world does as well in bringing in those lies. And so we have to recognize where the lies come from so that we can counter them. Because it's always in a lie. It's always in deception, always in distortion towards the word of God, and always in distortion towards God. It'll bring doubt.
I thought you were going with, like, when are we most, I don't know what you call it, like when you're tired, when you're sick.
Oh, yeah,
when you're
but
hungry.
That's our flesh.
Yeah,
it is. That's your flesh.
That's when he likes us.
Right, you know? Right. And so when we are weakest is when he'll come after us.
Absolutely.
And so we're glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. We have just a few seconds left. You have to come back next week because we're going to take it even deeper. Because that's what we're doing, is we're digging in and we're looking at how God can stop us from falling into temptation. God bless.